Hello and welcome to the Uncommon Podcast, a podcast about two creatives and their unusual journey. In this season, we're going to take you through our process and you're going to learn about how two designers from different parts of the world make their shift from freelancers and try to set up their own agency. I'm Alejandro Mejías, your co-host, and today we're going to talk to the other co-founder, Oliver Muñoz. Oliver, welcome.
Ale, good morning. How are you going, man?
I'm very well, man. How are you?
Very happy to be here with you. That was quite an intro.
That is quite an intro, isn't it?
It's like we didn't even practice that.
I know, right? It came out naturally. That's the way.
And that's the way to go.
Exactly. Man, I'm excited about this podcast and I'm excited about this episode because you have quite a story, man. We're going to be talking about how you went from designing flyers for house parties in Tijuana. All the way Tijuana.
Tijuana, Mexico.
Tijuana, Mexico, yeah.
Just for those.
Mexico. Mexico in Spanish.
That's right.
And that's quite a story, man. That's your start in the design.
Yeah. That was the first time I was sitting in front of a computer with some form of design software. And I think that's where I realized that I really like that, you know. I like creating something from a blank canvas. And you know, now in Australia, designing user interfaces for some really good brands, really cool brands, I think it's quite a journey, and everyone has a journey, and everyone should have the opportunity to tell this story.
Well, that's what we're doing today, actually, because you're basically going to take us through that step by step, how you went from those flyers all the way to designing complex interfaces here in Australia, and for some of the most recognized brands, like some household brands, actually. So I'm really excited, man. I think we have to start where it all, you know,
really? Yeah.
Where it all begins, right? Back in Mexico.
Yeah. So I remember the first time I designed something. So we had a house party, right?
Yeah.
And this is, like I said before, this is back in high school, and everyone's trying to be the cool kid. Everyone's trying to, you can imagine, you know, it's cool. And then what are you going to do on the weekend? What's on Friday? People are half of the class is underage, so not everyone can go out. Like out as in clubbing or bars or anything. So house party is the way to go, you know?
That's it.
And I don't know what the demographic is listening to us right now, but back in the day, all you had was Messenger, MSN.
Yes.
You had the emails.
Yes.
And there wasn't anything like WhatsApp or Facebook or Instagram. So that was the only way to get the word around about a party. Okay. And I remember there were three of us, right? And one of the guys, he was the go-to guy for the house. He had this really cool house. And there was this other guy who he was like kind of more popular guy. He was part of the group, so
okay,
very likable guy as well. And then there was me, and I was like, "What do I bring to the table?"
But you had a bit of a team, didn't you?
We had a bit of a team, and the three of us, we used to play basketball together.
Okay,
So we were quite close to each other, right?
Right.
And I say, you know what, guys? My dad just bought this design software.
Okay.
And I'm just gonna try to do something with that one, you know. And by the way, it wasn't anything like Photoshop or Illustrator, and nothing that didn't come from the Adobe suite. It was a series of CDs that you have to install overnight because there were so many. You know, I'm talking about five, maybe four or five CDs. And I remember that night, my dad, he will walk into the room. And he will get the disk in and then click install, and then the disk will start installing. Yeah. And I'm just sleeping next to the computer. And
taking forever to download and install the software.
Yeah. And this is like a big PC, right?
Yeah.
It's not like a fancy looking laptop or anything. And then that will probably take like an hour. And then he will come back in again that night. And then he will swap the CDs onto the next CD. So it was like a whole production, right?
Yeah, right.
And just looking at that, I was like, this has got to be good because it's taking so long, You know, like it's getting they're just installing this software is just taking ages. So there's got to be something cool about this. So I want to have a crack at it. And yeah, man. So I remember designing these flyers and just passing the flyer around the messenger chats, and or sometimes we'll be like the odd printout at school, and then we'll just pass it around the classroom. You know,
nice.
So imagine everyone in the middle of the classroom, and then the teacher turns around to write something on the whiteboard. Excuse me. And then all of a sudden, it's like this rustle of the paper. You know, it's like, hey, we have a house party. You should come around.
So you basically started doing these flyers for house parties. But like, was that kind of like the very first encounter that you have with that design process, or did it sort of it was sort of like more of a, you know, you were just trying out, and then you realize, oh, I can actually design.
Yeah, I think that was it. I think I was just curious, and I was just having a go at it. And I'm not saying that the parties were a complete success thanks to the flyers that I designed. They were just, you know, I was just a kid doing something in my designing in my bathroom.
Yeah.
But I do remember having fun, and I think that's very important. Like as soon as you stop having fun, it's just why you keep doing that?
What's the point? Yeah, totally.
What's the point? Yeah. But yeah, man, it was just something I really enjoy, but wasn't getting paid or anything. It was just for fun.
Yeah. And did you kind of have like total creative freedom? You were doing your thing.
There was no brief. I think actually, if you think about it, that was like the perfect job, right?
Absolutely.
There's no brief. You do it for fun. You get creative as you can. And at the end of the day, it's for a party.
Absolutely. You know? And I think it plays an important role as well, right? Because the poster actually sells the party, you know? So it's like, you know, it's rewarding in the sense that, you know, you are part of the process of getting people excited about this event, right?
Yeah, that's it. And this is back also like in, I think it was 2006. Yeah, I think it was 2005, 2006, and then we have theme parties, right? And one of the parties was the World Cup party. Because I remember that.
Oh, nice.
I remember that weekend, like I think it was June, July. This soccer, this obviously a soccer, the football World Cup. And I remember, one of the parties was Mexico's football team party.
Wow, that's cool.
So the whole poster was, you know, like the Mexican shield and then like a soccer ball somewhere there, and you had to wear the jersey, like the official jersey, and come around. So nice. everyone's wearing. And what 2006, what was it? I think it was South Africa. I think that's where the World Cup was in 2006.
I have a pretty bad memory.
You like soccer.
I love soccer, but I have a pretty bad memory. So I have a very hard time trying to remember the World Cups.
Well, point being is that the games were like at 3 a.m. or, you know, in Mexico's time.
Yeah.
So it was perfect because everyone was there having a good time.
Nice. You know? Until 3 a.m.
Until like
2 or 3 a.m.
and the game's on, and everyone's just like already into it. Yeah.
Wow. That's a really cool house party.
So it was a good excuse to watch the games live.
Love it. That's so cool. Do you have those posters, man? I'd like to see that.
I don't, man. Like, that computer's long gone. They're probably somewhere in the internet.
So you got to keep copies of the work you do, right?
You know, I'm not that kind of person. I always, all my assignments from school, they're all gone.
Really?
Yeah, pieces of paper, everything.
Like, why?
I don't like to keep things like... Yeah. They mean nothing to me, I guess.
Really? But do you mean like physical things?
Yeah. They're gone.
Right.
Yeah. I never kept anything.
You know, I came across this bag of stuff that I had the other day.
What was in it?
In wardrobe. And it was just like all assignments from school.
Really?
Yeah. And even from earlier days, like when I was a kid, like drawings that I've done when I was a kid. And
wait, you got all those things...
Here,
all the way to really,
yeah.
I came to Australia with 2 suitcases.
I mean, same.
That was it.
Not like same, but when I went back a few years ago, I thought to myself, I've got so much good stuff here, that I want to keep with me. You know, like this is valuable. Like
that was like sentimental.
Yeah, because that's kind of how I started, and so I you know brought it with me. Not everything, but I brought some, and now I have a wardrobe with that stuff. So I came across, stumbled upon it the other day, and I was like, man, like this is, you know, taking a lot of space, but it is valuable, right? And so I created this folder with everything. And now every now and then, like, you know, I just go and you know, take a look. It's nice to kind of reflect back on where you were and where you are now.
Yeah, it's quite a process.
It is.
And I remember back at school, you know, those people would come into the parties and, you know, somebody might recognize, my mate, the one who's house, the guy with the house. He kind of recognized that I could do, you know, a bit of graphics. And we had this assignment at the end of the month for 6 months. It was an assignment per month. And you had to illustrate the facade of your house. So they will teach you how to use certain tools on CorelDRAW.
Okay.
Which is similar to Adobe Illustrator.
Right.
Well, it's pretty much the same, just different company. And I don't even know if it exists anymore. Nobody ever used that one except for us at school.
That
it was like the poor cousin of Adobe Illustrator.
To be honest, I've never heard of CorelDRAW.
Yeah, because you started your career in Australia, man. You didn't go to a third world country to do this, you know?
they just couldn't afford Adobe.
They just couldn't afford Adobe, yeah. Which, by the way, keeps getting more and more expensive, Adobe.
Yeah.
I remember paying like...
That's a different story, my friend.
No, but I want to rant about this.
Well, go for it.
I remember paying like $300 and then next year it's like $500 and the year after it's like $800. And now it's like, I don't even know if I need to pay anymore because now we use Figma.
We're mostly on Figma.
Yeah,
but every now and then, I feel like you need to go to Adobe for specific things.
Yeah, to open the PDF that... to sign the contract.
Well, that's one of the many, Actually, I find myself using Illustrator very often and Photoshop. So I still use it a lot, but I pay monthly, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe I'm not seeing the bill
as bad
as you are.
But look...
Was CorelDRAW free?
Not legally.
Right, well... Yeah. Oh, so you're... Oh, okay. So that was...
Well,
what Mexicans do?
I'm guessing that the school pay the fee.
Yeah.
Like the license.
Yeah, right.
But I don't think I ever pay for software until my professional career.
Yeah.
Like throughout. I mean, you're a uni student.
I think most
you
people
go and you get the fake, the copies and the software, and then you need to open three folders, and then there's like a compressed one, and then you need to make sure like you're facing north, and and then you try to install it, and it might work, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dodgy process.
Yeah, it was, but then there's like 10,000 folders within one folder, and then all of a sudden you just give up. You're like, stuff it, you know. I don't even want to design anymore. I remember we were using CorelDRAW, and then my mate, sorry, going back to the story.
Yeah.
And then my mate, he couldn't design for nothing. He couldn't draw a circle there. And he's like, can you do this for me? I was like, sure. He's super smart. He's an engineer and he's one of the brightest guys I ever met. And he asked me to do this assignment for him. I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do it. So I went off and then I did it probably, I don't know, like in an hour or so. And I came back and gave it to him. He got the highest score. Like in Mexico, it's 1 out of 10. It's the lowest. So he got 10 out of 10. And he was super happy with that. And then somehow people started realizing that, or they noticed that I could do that for them. And they started coming to me. And I said, yeah, I'll do it for a small fee. You know?
Nice. I like this.
Yeah. I was like, I need a bit of pocket money for the weekend. Like to go out. Maybe why not? You know? So I started doing that. And there was, as people started coming to me, I started to get more and more assignments for them. And there was a point where it was in so much demand that I would start telling people that, you know what? If you give me your assignment at the start of the month, it'll be cheaper if you give it to me towards the end. Like the fee will increase.
So you were starting to negotiate a little bit.
Yeah, it was like this business scheme where, you know, that you get a bit of a discount. And also that was combined with what score are you after? You know, be realistic. Like, you've been failing this class for the last 3 months. All of a sudden, you can't just have the highest score. So we'll aim to give you like a 7, 8, because obviously this is not.
Yeah, yeah. So
this is not legit, right?
Okay, so that was your way to kind of cover off the dodgy business.
So that was it. And then I remember this one time, this guy came to me and he asked me to do this assignment. And this guy, he's like straight A's, you know, he's like, he's never had like an A minus, or, you know, he's like A plus all the way through, except for that class. And I did it for him like very last minute. And I think he got like an A minus, something like that. So he came back to me and he's like, hey man, what the hell? You know, I'm supposed to get straight A's and I pay you top dollar. I was like, yeah, you pay that because that was yesterday and the assignment was due today. And by the way, you would have gotten like half of that score if it wasn't for me. So I don't know what you complain about. And he wasn't very happy about it. He knew I was right. But anyways, that was my first client liaison experience trying to get someone to understand.
Just like the real world, my friend. Yeah. It happens a lot, right? Wonder what the guy's doing now.
This guy, he's a conductor for an orchestra.
Oh, really?
Yeah, super bright guy.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I remember going to his house once and they had like this really fancy long piano and there was like a violin, a cello and
yeah, right.
All these instruments. I don't even know what they're called. I'm not like... They're not bumps right now, you know. Like they're all doing their own stuff, but they just couldn't design.
Interesting. So he was a creative mind, but couldn't design at all. I mean, like
I couldn't play an instrument.
Well, to be honest, yeah, they're two separate skills, right? Absolute separate skills. And I think
you can play.
I can play a little bit. I have rhythm, but that you doesn't mean that I can play an instrument. Like I've tried. I played the bass for some time, tried at least, didn't get too far, but I love the drums.
excuse me, man. I've seen you have the little drums at home.
The djembe. Yeah.
Do a little bit here.
I don't know if you can hear in the microphone. I gotta bring it to the studio next time.
Yeah, we'll do the intro with that.
That's it. But I tell you what, actually, like the thing with, CorelDRAW and all of this design software is that it's a different skill even from someone who can, for example, you know, draw or sketch. Like if you're really good at that, it doesn't mean that you're going to be good at using the software actually. So it's a totally different skill. Then what? Like tell us what happens after, because I'm sure the story doesn't end there.
No, so it doesn't end there. I remember the next step up was everyone was trying to... This is a funny one, actually. And it might even count as a confession.
Ooh. All right. Drop it.
Drop it. Do we have any suspense music here? I don't think we do. We came prepared for this.
No.
And it might even count as a felony. So we'll see how we go.
Good luck, my friend.
Yeah. Thanks, man. It was nice meeting you.
Yes.
So we might continue this episode from jail.
I don't know. I don't know my business partner. It was some dodgy endeavors, man. You should have told me this before we signed the contract.
You should have asked, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't think to ask that, but...
You didn't think to ask that?
Not of you.
To a Mexican?
Well, yeah, I should have thought... I should have judged you a little bit more.
Yeah, you got to be street smart.
Yeah. Well, see, I am, but I trust you, my friend, so...
excuse me, I don't know what's going on with me this morning, my voice... Must be that.
You'll be rusty. Is it because of the confession?
My voice is breaking now.
Yeah. now you're sweating.
Now I'm sweating.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen after this. So I remember like I mentioned before, half of the class were underage and the other half already turning 18.
Yeah.
And obviously the groups were divided, people going out on the weekends and all that, going to the clubs or the bars. And again, my really good friend, the one who I did the assignment for the very first time, he was the youngest of the group. So there was no way he was going to turn 18 before summer.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, it will be by the end of summer. And everyone always, obviously, you're in summer break, you want to go out. And I was like, well, what if, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. What if we make a fake ID for you?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, really? It's like, well, why don't we give it a crack? You know, I mean, you look super young, but maybe amongst the group, like if everyone's old enough, 18 at least, maybe you can, you know.
Like pass on the cover.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, well, let's give it a go. So it was a driver's license, I remember. And they were not that fancy looking, the original ones. They were just a piece of plastic printed on. It was just your ID printed on a piece of plastic.
Yeah.
No holograms, no barcodes, nothing.
Yeah.
Or even if there was a barcode, they wouldn't scan it at the entry.
So you could pretty much find a Photoshop.
Yeah. It was like, just imagine like
photo,
a
photo, Photoshop it and just basically.
Yeah. So we took a photo of him, like a profile photo.
Yeah.
With some plain background. I think it was a blue background. And got his details. And then piece it all together, and we just tried. I remember we went out this one night, and then it worked.
Oh, really?
Like, really? Yeah. So we tried that for a few times. I mean, this is very dodgy. It's not like we didn't print on the actual on the hard plastic. It was just like a piece of paper, and what do you call the
lamination?
Lamination. Thank you very much.
Got a good story about that, actually. I'll tell you later.
It was laminated.
Yeah.
And we went out. It worked. Went a few times. It worked. Treat every time. And then we started telling people like, oh, yeah, this is what we did, blah, blah, but just don't tell anyone. And other friends will come around. It's like, hey, Ollie, so I heard what happened. You know, do you think you can do me a favor? And then it's like, yeah, you're in my I'll do it for free. That's fine. But, man, the word spread around like wildfire. Everyone was coming to me, and I was like, maybe I'll just start charging for this, you know, just a little bit. I mean, I may as well. It's, you know, it's my time. It's my skills.
Yeah.
Why not? So I can't remember how much I was charging, maybe $20 a pop, something like that.
I mean, still $20 for something.
$20 for a 17-year-old.
And it wasn't costing you anything. Maybe the lamination.
Maybe the lamination, that was it. And yeah, so we did it, and there was another kid from I think he was from a different same school, but he was just hanging out with the younger kids. I think he was like year 7, I'm gonna say. No, hang on, 6, 7, 8, 9. Year 10, and I was year 12. Yeah, he was year 10 and I was year 12. And he was like, he helped me out to branch out. I was like, man, they look really young. Like, I would do it, but I can't guarantee they're going to get in.
That's it, yeah.
And he will have his fee. So I was like, yeah, you can make, you know, maybe add another $10 or $5 or whatever. But I don't want to hear anyone coming back and saying, oh, I couldn't get in because they look really young. And I remember one of my friends, her auntie, she was a nurse and she used to work at the hospital and she was in charge of the staff. And she had access. And my friend, she came to me one day at school and she's like, she was also one of the young ones there. So I did this ID for her and she's like, hey, Ollie, I think we can do better. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, well, you got the skills and all that. But I happen to have access to a lamination machine, but not like we know it, but like actual, like a staff ID printer.
So we go proper.
Yeah.
This is an enterprise that you're building
this
there,
is an enterprise,
aren't you?
Yeah. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, I can just get the machine from my auntie and that's it.
Yeah.
Just give me the designs. I can't even remember what sort of format we will export it out as. But then we started doing that. So that's where it got more expensive because we have to cover for the plastic. And then she was in. So now I had a business partner. In it. So
right,
we were going 50-50.
That's it.
Yeah. And she was super social. So she got a lot of people on board. And this is towards the end. I remember I was like, this is it. Like, we're just going to make money on this. We're going to make bank. And one night, I was just sitting in front of my computer in my room, my bedroom upstairs. It was quite late. It's probably, I mean, late, like 9:30 maybe. And I had this whole list. I had like a spreadsheet. and people's details and their phone number. So you can imagine me there typing away. And a bit of music in the background. And then I had the MSN on, and my friend was talking to me. And it's like, oh, we need to get all these ideas. Maybe this, I reckon this is like a Thursday night or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, because weekend is like high demand.
Yeah.
You got to get it done by Friday.
Yeah. That was your deadline.
That was my deadline every Friday. And I was doing it there. And as I was sending some of the files, I hear someone knocking on my door, right? It's like... And I was like, fuck. Like, and I try to close these windows, and then my mom walks in. And I remember as she walks in, as she opens the door, my computer, I'm facing the other way, so she can see my screen straight in.
Right.
Yeah, so as she walks in, she can see like this big zoom in of an ID on the screen.
You're busted.
Busted big time. And then I close it and then she's like, Ollie, hang on, what's that?
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, what are you doing? I felt like I got caught watching something, you know, like
that's it. Well, you got caught
some X-rated content. That probably would have been better than
getting caught in your endeavors.
Yeah.
Your dodgy business.
Yeah, man. And then she's like, oh. Anyway, she didn't like that. She walked out, and then my dad came in like next day, and then we had a chat about how those very illicit business could get me to jail. And now,
of course.
And they gave me a whole speech about now you are 18 years old, so you're gonna go to a serious jail. Like you're not gonna go to the juvenile, you know. I was like, okay, that's it. And man, I think that was the end of it, you know. And then people kept coming back. I was like, no, I can't do it anymore. Like. I got caught.
So, but this, just for the record, like, you're still a kid, obviously. So, you know, like 18 years old, you know, pretty much at school, or maybe just graduated from school. So, like, the question here is, like, what happens after? Because, like, so obviously you've already explored.
I already explored.
Design in its different phases. You've done posters.
I tasted the blood of a business.
That's it. Exactly.
What it's like to get paid for that.
Yeah, exactly. You've, like, run a bit of a business, really. Like, you had your clients, you were charging, you had deadlines. So you were pretty attuned with the whole idea of, you know, what it is to be a designer, especially a freelancer, right?
Yeah.
What happens then?
Well, I guess then I go to uni and, you know, do 4 years of uni, and I did a, you know, there's always the odd job, like your uncle comes around and, oh, I need a logo for my business.
Happens a lot.
I need a business card, and or your cousin, you know, he wants to sell lemonade or margaritas in the case of Mexico.
And they ask you for a logo, business cards, a website.
Yeah, the whole deal. And you're like,
you really need a website for a lemonade business?
Yeah. It's like, oh, well, you're going to be on the internet these days, right? Yeah, you have to buy it or you don't, like, or pay me for it.
That's it.
So I did all that. You know, I did my fair share of that.
Yeah.
But after school, I used to go to my friend's studio. He's one of the older guys from a group of friends, and he would give me a few hours a day, you know, and then I would work there as well. So that was cool. That was really good experience, good exposure to going to meetings and watching him, you know, liaising with clients and deadlines, all that. But my first paid job as a designer was at the marketing department for a supermarket.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My dad knew someone there, and then he knew that they were looking for a designer to cover someone who's going to go on leave for a month, or like on sick leave for a month.
Yeah.
And they was like, oh, I'll talk to my son. So I just went in.
What were you doing? What was the job about?
The job was not very proud of it, man.
Well, we're not proud of the jobs we've done at the start, at least.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the job. The job was basically the sales catalog.
Okay, designing the sales catalog.
Yeah, and designing, I wouldn't say you're really designing, you're just producing.
Okay.
So you cut out the images, you put them there, you put the price next to it, and then there's a spreadsheet, and it's very boring, man. Like, I just, the only reason why I did that was because I was going to come to Australia, and then I wanted a piece of paper, and I need to go through the States. And back then, I didn't have a visa. Okay. So I needed a piece of paper saying that I had a legitimate job, like a secure job, and I just needed a visa, like a tourist visa to go to the States. But in reality, I just wanted to get through the States to come to Australia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I got the job at this very well-known supermarket chain in Tijuana. And yeah, I just did it for 3 months. That was it. And as soon as I got that piece of paper, I went and applied for the visa, and then I came to Australia.
Oh, so that was your segue to where you're at now.
And yeah,
So you came to Melbourne.
This is what I tell people. Like, sometimes some jobs, they're just to get you out of somewhere, you know?
Right.
You just use them as a springboard onto the next thing.
Who would have thought that job that you're
not... I am very thankful of that job,
that's
man.
That's it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
I love the people there. I just didn't like the work.
Okay. Well, but yeah, it's what landed you here. So that's actually really good. It's a bit of a turn of events. And why Australia?
My wife, she's Australian.
Okay.
And we decided to live here.
And she's from Melbourne?
She's from Melbourne.
Oh, yeah. So...
And we came here and... It was tough at the start, man, you come here and you're living with your in-laws. That was fine. The tough bit is to make a name for yourself in the industry. Like, nobody knows you. You have no experience in the industry. And you kind of have to just start going around. And I started knocking on doors, man.
That's it. That's a way.
Yeah, I was like just sending emails, doing my research. It's like, I want to work here. Who's the creative director? Who's the design director? Who's the owner? And I will address the email to them specifically. I would also see if someone was hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it wasn't for the role that I was looking for, I knew they were actively checking their emails because they're hiring. So I would try to slide in there.
Oh, that's really smart.
Excuse me. Yeah. But anyways, I landed a internship at a branding agency in South Melbourne.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
They didn't have the opening for a job, which was fine. I had no experience. And they said, the creative director said, come have a look. Come have a chat. Sorry, I had a look at your portfolio. Come have a chat, and they offered me the internship pretty much on the spot, and it was a bit tough because now I understand. But I had the quote unquote experience back in Mexico.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden you start to do an internship, unpaid internship. I mean, they will give you pocket money for your public transport and food, right? And they will give you a meal a week, like some sort of I will call it an allowance. But there was this whole experience in exchange. It sounds cliche, but, and I know people listening to us right now, they'll be like, oh, they should pay you for your internship. I was like, yeah, they should. But also nobody put a gun in my head to.
That's right. Well, it was your choice. Yeah.
It was my choice. And to be honest, I didn't have many other choices.
At the time, well, I guess because you're starting, like you're saying, you don't bring much of an experience from Mexico.
Yeah, man. And now, so now
you kind of have to start from scratch.
Now I ask, when people come to me and ask me, it's like, oh, you know, I want to be a UX or UI designer, but there are many of us out there looking for a job. How can I land that gig? And something that I said to them is like, well, what do you bring to the table that they don't? I didn't have that. Well, I did. I just didn't know. And I'm going to tell you how I know what I had until somebody told me. That's how I realized.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, what do you bring to the table? And I got this internship. I was like, I'm going to take it, man. I love branding. I've always been interested. This is a good agency, good people. I'm going to do it. And I was there Monday to Friday, 9 to 5:30, 9 to 6, and then working on the weekends, you know, at a cafe or a restaurant. And I was just tired. And I remember 2 months in, I just couldn't crack the briefs. Like, I just couldn't. I was like, what's going on with me? Man, I didn't even know what WIP meant, you know? Do you know what WIP means?
Now I do, but I didn't when I started, to be honest.
And that's how junior and that's how lost I was here in the industry, you know?
Yeah.
What's a WIP?
Yeah.
I didn't know what a daily stand-up was, you know?
You're not alone.
I didn't know all these things, and I just learned them the hard way on the spot. I even might have made a bad joke about the term whip, you know. It's something like I would have done, you know.
That's an interesting one.
I would
have
looked
actually
stupid to everyone.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one. I went through a similar process in one of my internships, actually. And they say, like, we're going to have the whip. We're going to have the whip. And I was like, the whip? Like, are they actually going to whip people here? Is that what happens when
you're
I'm
like,
scared?
That's why I fled Venezuela.
Yeah, so I don't like this, man.
Man, I feel like that with the digital space now. I think I even put a LinkedIn post a few months back. And I was like, does anybody else feeling confused about all these X's and UI's terminologies?
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
like,
that's something that comes from corporate. Corporate loves that kind of acronym.
You know where else it happens? In government.
Yeah, it happens a lot in government, like big corporations.
I remember Canberra when I was living there. Man, it was all about the acronyms.
Yeah.
You could not, it was, you know, when you listen to rap music and they're using all these slangs and you don't understand because you're not part of it.
Yeah,
it's the same in Canberra. It's like all about...
They're rapping in their meetings.
Yeah, they're rapping in their meetings. Yeah, all suited up. Can you imagine that?
That would be gold. It'd be more interesting than listening to somebody talk about all these acronyms. I go through that a lot, actually. And till this day, sometimes you find clients who are like... very much on, you know, very, very heavy on it. And it's like, it's a struggle.
Yeah, man. And I remember this internship, it was like, it was tough.
Yeah.
Right. And I even doubted myself, like, what am I doing? Am I even a good designer? You know, should I go back to Mexico? Anyways, I set myself an ultimatum, like officially. I call out a meeting with the two guys who hired me, the director and the creative director. And, just imagine this boardroom, big table, you know, they're sitting at the end of it. I walk into the room and it's like, hey, Ollie, how's it going? Good. You calling this meeting? Like, yeah, thanks for your time. And I said to them, look, I know I'm not being the designer I thought I was going to be. I'm not being good at it.
Yeah.
I'm struggling. This is what I've been going through the last couple of months. Just a bit of backstory.
Yes.
But please give me a chance. Give me another month. And if after this month I'm still the same, I haven't improved, then I'm just going to pull the plug. I'm going to call it quits and we're just going to say remain colleagues and friends.
It's a very brave thing to do, man.
Yeah, I think you just got to be honest to yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree with that.
And that was the way it was back then. And I said, look, do you guys agree? Like, yeah, man, that's fine. They looked at me and... They just gave me a bit of a smile. It's like, you know, pretty much like I think pretty much like you said, they must have thought it's like, wow, that's brave, you know, he's recognizing,
he's
owning it.
Yeah.
And I walked out of there and another month came by and I call out second meeting. And yeah, man, I didn't make it.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Again, same scenario, walked in the boardroom. There's two guys that are sitting there and I don't think I even had to say anything. We all knew.
Yeah.
We all knew that was going to be the last meeting. And I said, thank you very much for your time. It's been an amazing experience and I'm taking so much with me from this experience. And
absolutely. You learned a lot, didn't you?
Yeah. And I said, I'm really sorry. I wasted your time.
Yeah.
And I took another intern's spot because that's the reality.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to call it here. I think I burnt out. I didn't even know that I was, but I think I was. And, I'm just going to keep on going. I thank you very much. And I remember the director, he walked out of the room and as I was following him out, my creative director, he stayed in the room. He said, hey, Ollie. And I was like about to leave the room and he said, hey, Ollie. I turn around and then he gave me the finger. No, I'm kidding. I turn around and he's like, I've been to Mexico, as you know, he said to me, and I've driven from South Mexico, the peninsula, all the way through the jungle and to Mexico City with my family. I've done that. And I love your country, he said.
Mm.
And your culture is so rich.
Yeah.
It's so rich. There's so much to it. Like I only did that little bit of Mexico and I don't think I even had a grasp of it. You know, it was just so rich, man. And he said to me, you need to own that and you need to bring that up to your work and who you are. You don't try to be somebody else.
That's powerful, man.
Yeah, he said, you need to be proud of where you come from.
Yeah.
And you need to make sure you let people know where you come from and bring that richness and that passion from your culture onto your work. And you're going to change everything. It's going to be the best thing you can do.
Wow. I think with that advice, all the work you've done paid for itself.
Yeah, man. And I always say that to myself. You know,
yeah.
I was like, you know what? This is where I'm come from. And there's no shame in it. And I think I was trying to fit in here in a certain way.
Yeah.
But in reality, being different is good.
That's absolutely right, my friend.
Yeah. And
that's what makes you stand up as well. Like stand out from the crowd.
Yeah. And that's what I bring to the table now. So this is going back to that question. It's like, this is what I bring to the table, you know?
Yeah.
When I walk into a room or into a meeting, or in this case, a virtual meeting or an interview, and they say, why should we hire you? Or, you know, what are you good at? I was like, well, I grew up outside Australia. I bring a different perspective.
Yeah.
You know, I see things in a different way because that just comes naturally to me. It might sometimes not be the right thing to say or to do because it's not, you know, it might not be the right solution. That's what I'm trying to say. But at least we are exploring something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, that's what I have. That's what I bring to the table.
Amazing. Amazing. Wow, Oliver, that's quite a story, man. And I'm glad that you've made that incredible journey from Tijuana all the way here. And now that, you know, we've started an agency and we're joining forces as well, we can, you know, talk more about that story and everything that's happening between.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of details that we can't cover off, but we have a whole podcast to talk about this stuff.
Man.
So I'm sure we'll be hearing more of that.
Yeah, 100%. And next episode, we're going to talk about you, Ale.
That's
we're going to talk about your beginnings.
That's it, my story, my
why
journey.
Why you chose design.
Yes. Why I chose design over journalism and advertising.
Really?
I was actually studying that and then I dropped out.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, we're going to hear about that in the next episode. But thank you for sharing your story, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. See you guys on the next one.
See you next one.